Stanley Forman, Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer from worked for the Boston Herald and also with WCVB TV Channel 5. And Stanley, welcome. Thanks for joining us and taking some time to share a bit about yourself and your career with us.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, Beverly resident, born in Winthrop, so you've got those strong North Shore roots.
Yeah, born in Winthrop, but I grew up in Revere. I'm sorry, I always get thrown off on that. That was the hospital, but I grew up in Revere.
Okay, all right, perfect, all right. So Winthrop taking credit with the hospital there, okay. That was a while ago, though, right?
yeah, 77 plus years. The funny thing is my mother was born at that hospital, and the same doctor delivered both of us.
All right, so let me touch on a few things. You have an event coming up. Let me just go there right away. It's on Wednesday with the Beverly Historical Society. Then we're going to talk about some of your work. And maybe tell us what happens on this. It's a Zoom event. We have a link there for folks on our post here to go to it if they want to participate in it. But what's the plan on Wednesday at the Historical Society event?
Well, for me, it's great because I'm finally meeting with the locals. I've been in Beverly for 31 years, grew up in Revere, and I changed the slideshow a little bit, brought it up to date. I got Schubert the seal in it, but my wife and I wrote a book about him, and I'm going to probably about a 35, 40 minute presentation. There is some seating, but I think it's sold out and it's free. There's a virtual connection. You can sign up. There's a limited amount of the virtual. You can sign up and get a link that lasts for 2 weeks.
Oh, I got you. All right. So the we have a link up to there. And so again, in person, not in play for folks, but watching on Zoom, possibly in play if they go to that link and click on that. You know, you mentioned the Schubert book that you and your wife wrote too. That's another story. That's a totally another ball game here. But let me ask you about that. Tell me about that book about the famous Beverly Seal.
Well, I got to be honest with you. That's the biggest thrill of my life because I collaborated with my wife. We were driving around after the seal was captured on the Friday. After the seal gave itself up on that Friday, I missed just a quick thing. I heard the police at 3 o'clock in the morning telling several cars to call in. And I kept thinking it couldn't be Schubert because the day before they were trying to get him with the NOAA people. And instead of just taking a ride and looking, I went down there at 6 o'clock in the morning and he was already on his way to Connecticut. But Schubert is probably the biggest thrill because I did it with my wife. We wrote it together with my pictures and we published a book. It's my second book. I had a fire book also, but this is something I did with my wife, who's been putting up with my radios for 43 plus years.
Now, that's a children's book, right?
Yes, it's a delightful children's book with pictures. And this, I like to say, if Schubert could talk, this is what he would say. And it's a delightful book. And there's a school teacher in Beverly that also did one, and she did it with beautiful illustrations.
So yeah, there was definitely a market for a book on Schubert, and then there's the legendary Paul Layton, who is the reporter who's covered this for the last year or two, whether for the Salem News. Where is your book and your wife's book available now?
It's only available through blurb.com. We self-published. We're still looking for a real publisher, a publisher that will take it and make it less expensive and make it more available. But it is on blurb.com. As I say, it's a delightful book. I've got notes from people and saying how their kids just are mesmerized by it, as I was on Schubert.
I'll tell you what, Stanley, after we finish, I can have you get me that link and we can put that up as well on our post here so people have a chance to click on that and take a look at that opportunity for them. Well, let me go back. I got to tell you, I went through your website a little bit, and the historical photos, I feel like I'm taken back in time in a way, because photojournalism is really, I think, undervalued, especially, I'm a little younger than you, but not a lot, and I remember growing up, and what's that?
You say you're younger than me. You want to trade?
But you know, but I do remember people having like the old Time magazine or Life magazine, looking at photojournalism, and then when you go to museums, you see the old photos, and you have like I mentioned earlier, 3 Pulitzer Prizes on photojournalism. So how did you get into photojournalism?
Well, I grew up, as I said before, I grew up in Revere, and when I was 8 years old, so what's that make it, in the early 50s, my father was playing with an old RCA radio tube set, and he went to the end of the AM dial, and all of a sudden we heard the police cars, and we realized it was Revere. That's when they used to be on that band, 1700 band, and I was hooked, although I always loved the roar of the sirens, the smell of the smoke, even at a young age. I loved it when the fire engines went by and the red lights and all that, but I was hooked. And I just got lucky and got a job in something I loved. I love.
Yeah, and I may have been mistaken, but when we first hooked up on the phone before we started recording, did I hear a police radio in the background?
Yes, you did. I shut it off. It was in my pocket.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. So it's still to this day.
My music.
Yeah, that's your music. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Well, tell me what you're doing. I want to go into so tell me about the Pulitzer Prize winning photos or if you want to just touch on one of them, tell me the story behind that, if you could.
Well, I don't mind. Make it quick. The fire escape collapse was a very hot Tuesday. It was summer, July 22nd, 1975. And I had just walked out the assignment desk and I heard a call for a fire on Marlborough Street, and then if you listen to police traffic, Boston Fire was announcing that they were receiving multiple calls, and there were people trapped, and I raced there and got to the back of the building, and there was a woman, Diana Bryant, with her godchild, Tiara Jones, on the balcony waiting to be rescued. It was a routine rescue, and a firefighter by the name of Bob O'Neill from Ladder 17 climbed up, and he got on the fire escape with them, and as he was reaching up to grab the ladder and pull them to safety, the fire escape just collapsed. And Diana Bryant, I think she's about 21 years old, died in the fall, and Tiara Jones, Tiara Jones did not suffer any serious physical injuries. You want to go on to the flag?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
The flag was a Monday. And I remember these days, April 4th, 1976. And I went in the office, and the editor, I said to the editor, his name is Al Saley, my good friend, what's going on? He said, there's a busing demonstration down at City Hall, and Gene Dixon, Gino, was there. And I said, can I join him? He said, sure. So I went down there. I did an errand before I got there. And when I walked up to the plaza, into City Hall, the anti-busing demonstrators were walking down the steps. So I took a quick picture, and I stayed outside of of City Hall where those big panel doors, the window doors are. And as they were coming out, I looked, and there was a black man, two black men, taking the corner on State Street. I was at State and Court. You take a right to come into City Hall Plaza, right where the Bill Russell statue is. And all of a sudden, a bunch of these students, or most of them, went running down, and they attacked. And in the end, the first man, I don't have his name, and then Ted Landsmark was kicked, thrown down, and assaulted. And here it is, 46, 47 years later, and we're still talking about it.
Mm, yeah. Well, how about the third one then, the Pulitzer?
The third one is the third one is a team effort, a Blizzard of 78. I was out most of it with a torn Achilles tendon. I got out in the storm, which is a kind of a funny story. I got out in the storm one night. A friend of mine was in the National Guard, and they drove the National Guard truck up to take me out to shoot and drag me through the snow. It wasn't plowed yet, and put me in the back of the in the back of the National Guard truck. We went through a three-alarm fire on Dorchester Ave. And then we went down to Nantasket. I got a few pictures. And just part of the team.
Well, I got to ask you, you know, when you're talking to me about being in that Boston Herald newsroom back in the, back in the 50s, right? Or let's say 60s.
Don't make me that old.
Yeah, yeah, okay. No, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry.
Downtown Boston. We were in 5 Winthrop Square when I started.
Yeah, but I mean, so what's the difference between that newsroom back in that day and the current maybe Channel 5 newsroom?
Well, everything is computerized. There's no news. I don't know. I haven't been in any newspapers recently, but they're all desks and computers. And many of the people I know that work in the business, still work in the business, they never go in the office. A lot of work is done remotely. I would say more than 50% is done remotely. Photographers don't have to go in. All they have to do is set up their computer and send the pictures in and enough information that the editors know what to do with them.
Yeah, I bet you would have loved to have been working in the day with the digital photos, if you will, right?
Well, it's so simple. They still pictures. I mean, I still shoot news. I have a stringer business, and I sell my video to everybody and stills, and I do sunrises now. I mean, how many sunrises were I out that I just looked at and said, oh, well, and black and white film, and now I shoot sunrises, animals. I love the digital era.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't. A lot of the old-timers, like me, don't. But I love it. It just makes it simplifies everything. And if you can't get the picture in focus, and I'm one of those, then something's wrong.
You know, I've noticed, I was following you on Twitter, and you have some great photos, you're right, of the sunrises or whatever from Beverly or other places. And maybe share with us, how people can get to your photos. We have a link up on your website, but we'll go to that in just a moment. But you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook. So tell the listeners a bit about how they can follow some of your work.
On Twitter, my handle is SJForeman138. And on Facebook, it's Stanley Foreman and Stanley Foreman Photos, but there's a limited I put everything public, so I think you can see it without friending me. And all my tweets go on my website. They duplicate on the website. We had that done last year, and it's simple to follow me. I just have to remember where I am.
if your followers know where you are, but you don't, right? There you go. Yeah. That's funny. Tell our listeners about, because we have the link obviously up to your website. So tell us the listeners what's on the website, the little options and tabs, and where they can go and what they can read up on or view, if you will.
Well, I have my iconic pictures plus I hit a couple of grand slams, but I got a lot of home runs and triples and everything else. I have some pretty good pictures in my 16 and a half years of still photography. Plus, I put some up that I had even after I got it, when I got into video, I still was taking stills. And the stories, I like to think my, what do they call them, vlogs about different stories are pretty good. It's a pretty good memory. And one of these days, I'm going to get ambitious again and put up some more. Because I have good stories to tell.
Tell me.
I don't say I'm interesting. I think my work is interesting.
No, I get that. And tell me about, let me digress to your video. Tell me about your video and what you are doing with video.
Well, right now I chase things. This morning a tractor trailer struck the Federal Street train bridge. I was on my way out to do errands. And I stopped there. He was lucky. He didn't get crushed, just did some damage to the roof. But I would take, I'll go to a scene, a new scene, I'll shoot video. I usually shoot one or two stills, and then I notify the different, the TV, Boston TV stations, that I have video stills, sound, and things like that. I had Schubert was a good source for me last year, and the two beers that I saw in Middleton. were very good to me. I got 8 seconds one day of the first beer. I got 8 seconds of it, and everybody used it. And then I got a little bit more on the second beer that I saw. And then, of course, the one that the resident had to shoot because it came back and went into its chicken coop or something. So I love the animal stuff.
Yeah, no, that's neat. You got to be chasing down some coyotes too here, Stanley, here on the North Shore too, I would think, right?
Oh, I'll chase animals. Animals are just a great thing to shoot, especially if nobody is hurt. You know, there's a local, I'm not going to give the location, but there's a local owl that I go and visit once in a while, and I've taken pictures of. And there's hawks, there's the eagle in Saugus, I covered that, and I've been going to Middleton, and I can give out this location. There's a if you're going west on 114 in Middleton, just after you go to over the sign that says entering Middleton, there's a wetlands on the right and the left, and there's a little parking area. There's a nice little, I think canoes could pull in there and all that, and I went with my neighbor Scott Ryder yesterday, and we saw the there's two eagles, at least two eagles. Went from the north side to the south side, and I tweeted those pictures yesterday. And there's a swan there, too. It's just, it's a nature's joy there.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the 114, and it's right on the west side of Route 1, maybe about a mile, half mile at the most from there. Right, exactly.
Yeah. You go by Home Depot and up another half mile or a mile, and it's in there.
Yeah, but don't go as far as Market Basket, right? There you go. Right.
Well, you can if you want to go shopping, but if you want to see the eagles and the swans, stop.
No, you're right. Oh, wow. I mean, you're still very active in that piece. So tell me more. How did you get the bear photo? Where do you go? I mean, you must know where the bear might be or has been seen in the past, right?
Well, I'm listening to the. I knew the bear was there. I got tips on it, and I logged on to Middleton Police, Middleton Fire, and they were watching it, and so I was watching it. You know, it was just I was following the police the police trail.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think our website. We need to get a police radio scanner here. We got to step it up here. Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, someday they're all going to be, they're making it harder to listen to. And, you know, I had a pretty good run, though, so it's not over yet.
Let me just go back and, I mean, the numerous fires, I'm sure, different things. Are there a handful of stories? I mean, you've touched on the Pulitzer Prize winning photos and so on. What else kind of stands out that in your career, the day to day or whatever, about what you've been doing in photojournalism? Is there an event or something that might not be as famous as some of the others that kind of stands out to you?
Well, the one thing in the 70s, the 80s, you rarely saw a cop with his gun out. If you got video of cops with their guns out, or anything like that, it was always a good get. The problem is the way the country is now. If they don't take their guns out, it could be a problem. So it's a whole new world out there.
No, but you are right, Stanley. I hadn't thought about that. But, you know, it can be kind of a charged photo to have a photo of a policeman with his gun out, albeit legitimate having his gun out.
Yes. I have to be honest with you. I went to many gun arrests. And I can honestly say I always felt, thankfully, they had their guns out. But I'll tell you one funny story. I was working the overnight shift. Which I always loved. You went in at 12, you worked till 8 or whatever it was, and there was a call for a break-in or something in Brighton. Packet Square, that's where Commonwealth Ave curves to the left and you go straight. Anyway, I got there and I started to run into the cops ran down in the backyard, and all of a sudden I heard a shot go off. And I just went right back to my car. And then they brought, I'm sure it was a warning shot or whatever it was. This is 50 years ago. and they brought the suspect out, and I had a picture of him getting in the truck. But that gunshot, it's enough to make you stay home.
No, well, that's how you've been in the business for so long, with making decisions like that, Stanley.
Yeah.
Hey, I got one last thing to ask you about. I'm going back to your website because I was going around this. Again, the whole idea of photojournalism and the impact it's had on especially people my age and even a little younger, I think, over the years. But
what is your age? Let's get that out there.
Oh, geez, we can't do 60. Let's say upper 60s. How about that?
Okay, I'll still trade.
All right. So, but Stan, you have a thing on your website. You have a thing called labeled store, which is obvious. It's what it is. It's a store to purchase things. What can people purchase on your website? What is that?
That's a store for my Pulitzers. Someday I'm going to make it. I have a limited number edition of both Pulitzers, 16x20 prints. They're expensive. And I don't sell many. And I have 11x14s, and I have smaller prints, which are less expensive, 8x10s, or they're like 8.5x11, whatever they are. They're available, and then someday when I figure out how to use it, I might make a store and start selling my sunrises and everything. It can be lucrative for some people if they know what they're doing, and I know how to take the picture. I haven't figured out how to sell it.
Be lucrative. There you go. Well, there's time, I guess. Well, Stanley, thanks so much for joining us. I've really appreciated it. Hopefully we can check back again sometime. Those are fantastic stories and clearly a fantastic career. And you're still full of energy, obviously, and it's fantastic to hear all of this and all that you've done and are continuing to do. So it's inspiring. So, Stanley, thanks so much for your time and sharing these stories with us.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Stanley Foreman with us. He's lives in Beverly. And again, we have some links up on the website and photojournalist. And we thank him very much for being with us here on MSONewsSports.com.